To understand what it means to be homeless, we have two people here from organization The East Shore Helps. The first speaker is Corrine O'Malley, who helped in the organization of the Sophia Way. It's my pleasure to introduce her.
Thank you so much for inviting me here. I was asked to talk a little bit about my beliefs and value systems, which usually I don't talk about, so I had to think about that for a while. I believe that every person deserves to have their basic human needs met and have the opportunity for community and purpose. This is the fundamental value that informs my work. And I believe that our community, the East Side, has enough resources to house and feed and include every single person who lives here. We have been seeing in the last few years a lot of activism about standing with our neighbors who are Muslim or Black or from another country. And I think this movement for inclusion and against prejudice is a crucial piece in ending homelessness. And I think that we also need to stand with our neighbors who have lost their home. Many people who are experiencing homelessness are worried that they will be discriminated against, that they'll be judged, that they'll be shunned. I spoke with a woman once who said she went in for a job interview and did very well, was actually offered the job on the spot, but when they left the building and she went to get her backpack that she had stashed behind a bush, the person who had just offered her a job said, "Are you homeless? You can't work here." I also know a woman who spent $50 out of her $197 a month that she got on getting her nails done because it was, to her, the price of not looking homeless so that she could sit in Bell Square Mall and not get harassed by security. Women become homeless in a variety of ways and will find a home again in many, many different ways. The Sophia Way is committed to providing as many paths as possible. Some women have a lot of challenges and will need long-term help navigating relationships with neighbors and with landlords, and will always need help paying the difference between a disability check and the rent on the East Side. And so Sophia Way has case-managed housing. Some women are best served by being in a community house, to have roommates to prevent isolation, to have someone to watch TV with, to cook, to garden, or to just share the challenges of a long day. And Sophia Way offers, along with East Shore Unitarian, the Holly House. Some women need consistency, accountability, and help navigating the complicated web of services and opportunities. A reliable place to sleep every night, help applying for a replacement permanent residency card that was stolen, help signing up for a culinary program that will lead to a good job, and to make all the arrangements needed to comply with court-ordered treatment. This is Sophia's place. Case management, and a 6-month guaranteed shelter bed. Others are honestly just looking for a shower, a place to do laundry, a hot meal, maybe a phone so they can make an appointment. They need a computer and a phone to follow up with apartment listings, and really just the ability to look presentable so when they go to apply for an apartment, they can get in. This is the day center. Maybe a woman has a brother in Florida, and he would let her stay with him, but she has no way of getting to Florida. So we also have an outreach program and a Roscoe Fund, which is flexible funding to finance creative ways to get people home. And everyone who is homeless desperately needs a safe place to sleep tonight, a place to rest and not worry about being harassed or attacked. We have an emergency shelter for women, but it is only open in the fall, winter, and spring. That desperately needs to be an option every night. So when one of our neighbors gets evicted or runs out of money for the hotel or has their friend finally tell them, you can't sleep on the sofa anymore, or gets that notice that at the end of their lease, their rent's going up by $200 a month. Their options are very limited. What does it cost us as a community when our neighbors don't have a safe place to sleep? Whatever these folks are doing when their life is interrupted by homelessness, they need to stop doing those things and focus on surviving. Every night, finding a safe place to sleep. Every day, finding food, a bathroom, a shower. It's enormously draining and traumatizing. And think of how you contribute to your community every day. I know that East Shore has amazing congregants. So I know that you're doing things like babysitting for a frantic neighbor who's babysitter fell through. Maybe you're working a stressful but crucial job and you're doing it with grace. Maybe you grocery shop for a shut-in. Maybe just on the street you offer directions to someone who's lost. Maybe you sit and read a book to somebody. Maybe you go to a rally to show solidarity. All of this stops when you need to focus on survival. This is when I meet women who are homeless, this is what I see our loss as being. All of the things they did to contribute to our community and how wonderful it is here to live on the East Side. A woman told me this story recently. 2 years ago, my life was completely different. I was a middle-class working single mother with a nice apartment, a new vehicle, enough money to save to buy things that I wanted and to take vacations. Difficulties came when I became ill and lost my job. I was too ill to look for more work. And over a period of 2 years, I lost everything and found myself sleeping in my car in a hospital parking lot. I was the only homeless person in that parking lot, and I didn't feel safe, and I couldn't get any sleep. The next day, I called 211 to find housing resources and was directed to a safe parking program. The people at that church, that's my church, Lake Washington UMC, that's how I know her. The staff was so loving and understanding of the needs of homeless people. Having access to a kitchen made it possible for me to cook healthy meals. The community room provided a nice room to sit down in and eat and get out of the intense summer heat. I'm so grateful for the meals that were donated, the 24 access to a porta potty, and the beautiful church grounds. I felt safe and slept well at night. I met so many wonderful people, and I'm so thankful to the church staff and volunteer hosts for sacrificing so much of their time to be there for me. Think of what she's saying. Think of what she's thankful for community, for safety, for choices, for time. Maybe this is something that you can offer. Because I have met women in this situation, because I've had the great honor to get to know them, I'm often in the position of being able to offer something that's helpful, that's not difficult for me to offer. A listening ear. A visit when somebody's in the hospital. Looking up a map to somewhere on my phone. Helping somebody move into their new apartment when they finally find one. Somebody called me and said, you know, I want to rent a storage space to save my things, but they won't rent me a storage space because I don't have a permanent address. Can I give your name as a reference so that they have some hope of getting in touch with me if they need to? So I was able to do that. That wasn't a burden for me. But it's astonishing how many barriers are put up between a person who is homeless and their path forward. I don't fix things. I don't solve problems. I simply offer what I can. So what do we all need to do? We need to stand in solidarity. We need to get to know someone who's experiencing homelessness. And you can do that through the Sophia Way Companioning Program or volunteering at the day center. But sometimes it just takes saying hello to somebody on the street. And when you've met someone, share those experiences with someone you know. Let people know that we're all in this together, that we all have a part to play, sometimes offering help and sometimes needing help, but all of us together. Thank you.
Barrett has been clean and sober for many years after graduating with the Congregations for the Homeless program. And I'll talk about his experiences.
Good morning. About a little over 10 years ago, I became homeless, and my drinking, my alcoholism had taken its toll on me. Relationships with my parents and had been shattered. I lost my job, I lost my home, and I found myself living in my car. And really at the lowest point in my life, asking God to kill me, or asking God to help me do it myself. I was at my lowest point that I can remember, and I didn't know what to do. My parents had called Congregations for the Homeless, and they got me in touch with David Bowens, who runs the shelter, and I was able to get into Congregations for the Homeless, and that started an upswing. I was able to work with a case manager on the issues that I was having, mainly my alcoholism. I was able to get into treatment. And I went in for 30 days. I came out, and I haven't drank since. It's been about 10 years. Thank you. I always get choked up when I think about Congregations for the Homeless, because it helped save my life. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for the people at Congregations for the Homeless, the churches that host us 12 months out of the year, give us a safe place to stay. When I was sleeping in my car, I didn't feel safe at all. I was able to get started with working with a case manager, and that's kind of the backbone of our program is case management, and that case manager is there to help you with whatever goals that you're trying to achieve. And, quitting drinking was the first part of the process, and the second part was finding a job and getting reinstated back into society. And so I was able to find a job and work there for about a year. And David Bowens called me and asked me to work for him on call. And so I've been working with them ever since. And I just can't tell you how gratifying it is to be able to help people in the same situation that you were in, and trying to get out of homelessness, trying to get off of addiction, trying to get back on their feet and back into society. Being homeless is not a crime, but it feels like one. Feeling homeless is an awful feeling, especially for a grown man and with a lot of pride. Again, just want to thank you guys for supporting us every October. I think you've done it for about 20 years, and I appreciate everything that you've contributed to Congregations for the Homeless, because without you guys, our program doesn't work. So thank you.